It is 9:45 a.m. Saturday, September 17th, 2022, and this is Video Nasties. Thank you for listening. My name is Maxwell Haddad. Today's episode is about a few different things. I was going to do two separate episodes, but I think I'm just going to do it as one, because I had... On Thursday night, I watched Scream 2, okay? And then Friday, yesterday, was TV day. So I watched all shows, all series, whatever you want to call them. All TV shows, except for one movie, which was called Aqua Slash, which was a terrible slasher movie from 2019. It's on Showtime / Paramount Plus. It is so bad. It's a travesty. Don't watch it. It takes place at a water park. There's a band involved. It's, I don't know, high school graduation or something. Bunch of partying kids, kind of spring break vibes, but just terrible. Everything about it is terrible. The only good thing about it is this one girl who's kind of pretty, who shows up maybe 15 minutes into the movie. I watched her scene. I said, okay, that's going to be the hot chick in the movie. And sure, I would watch it for her. Maybe she shows her tits, probably not. You probably see her in a bikini, but I was like, honestly, it's not even worth it. This movie is so fucking bad. So I turned it off after her first scene. Now, I don't know what the fuck I just did. I had my notebooks ready, and now I don't know where they are, so I gotta go get them. I'm gonna pause this, and I'll be right back. Okay, sorry about that. I'm recording outside, and I just walked out without my notebooks, like a dumbass. So... I apologize for the no episode last night. I worked my first full shift at my new job at the coffee shop yesterday. And I know it's a cliche, the LA barista who wants to be a screenwriter, but that's kind of me, except I'm not back in LA yet, but I will be by early next year. That's the plan. Save money for a few months, move back to LA. So, one sec, sorry. Being a barista, I'm sipping my coffee. So, yeah, that's the plan. And in terms of last night, I was just kind of like, I was a little zonked. I had to run some errands after work. I did some writing. I wanted to get into TV watching, watch that first episode of the final season of Atlanta, which is a little sad for me. I was actually watching it. It was a little, like, I don't know, it's kind of bittersweet, because it's like, Atlanta's back, but this is going to be the last season, and, you know, I remember when it started. It's like 6 years ago now. It's weird. It's one of those things where, like, it doesn't feel like that long, but it does kind of feel like a long time, and it's kind of a different world now. So yeah, like I said, I was going to do two episodes, one for each night that I don't have episodes for yet, but I think I'm just going to combine it and do kind of like a double episode for you. Partly because you didn't get an episode last night. You being the listener, who I love. So, what was I going to say? Just lost it. It's still pretty early. But I have had my coffee. I'm feeling good. Oh, that's what I was going to say. So the Red Rocket episode from two nights ago is killing it. It might be the most listened to episode in the shortest amount of time in this new iteration of Video Nasties. So thank you so much. I can never predict which episodes are going to perform well. I did think the Red Rocket episode was superlative, and I'm happy that it's being recognized with listens. At first, it was kind of like it got off to a slow start, or maybe the listens just hadn't registered, but now it's just like, boom, it's killing it. So thank you so much. That and the Crimes of the Future episode, which is the first episode of the new iteration of Vid Nasties, might end up being the most popular so far, which would make me really happy. I do think one of the things that made that episode better... First of all, Red Rocket is one of the best movies I've watched during this new iteration. It's one of the best movies of last year. And it is the best movie that I've watched recently. You know, it's better than Pleasure. It's better than the shows I've been watching. And it's as good as Demonic. I prefer Demonic from a personal taste standpoint. It's more entertaining. It's more of a genre movie. It's more horror. Even though you could say Red Rocket is horrifying in some ways. But it never dips into horror. Not that that matters, but I just love Demonic. I was much more entertained by it. But Red Rocket is a much more sort of realistic movie. Maybe somber in a way. I don't know, but also positive. Because Mikey Sabre has this kind of energy to him. And he's funny. He is a funny character. And it is a comedy. In a lot of ways. Overall, if I had to like describe it to someone, or I had to put it in a section of the video store, I would put it in the comedy section, probably. It's sort of like a dramedy, in a way, which is a genre that I don't think you really see represented much anymore officially. I think that was like a big genre kind of in like the 90s, maybe like the early 2000s, but you don't really see dramedies anymore. I mean, you do, they're all over the place, but they're not seen as dramedies, and you see that on TV a lot. Anyway, I already did the Red Rocket episode, so I'm not going to get into that. But I think another reason why it's popular, another reason why I think it's a superlative episode, is that the sound quality is better. So just from a technical standpoint, I recorded it in my room. I had the mic sitting on my desk, and I think it probably picked up my voice maybe better than in some of the other episodes. So, I mean, I hope that's true. I used to go back and listen to all the episode, every episode. Like, I would finish recording and I'd go back and listen to it. I used to cut the episodes. I don't do any of that anymore. But, yeah, I have the feeling the sound quality was better. Hopefully the sound quality on this episode is good. I am back outside recording, which is where I've been recording lately. But I am sitting at a table and it's a beautiful day. There's no wind. The sun is shining. And it's a little chilly. It's getting a little cold. We're getting into mid-September here. And we are in mid-September. And yeah, I mean, the summer is officially ending. Which makes me sad in a way, but it's also nice. I love the winter. And I love the fall. I love all seasons. But you know what? I'm going back to LA where there are no seasons. And I like that even better. I like warm weather. I like it to be warm all the time. Anyway, let's get into Scream 2. Boom. How's that for a segue? That wasn't a segue. A segue that wasn't a segue. So my note for Aqua Slash is just so bad. That's it. So bad. Two words. Now Scream 2 I have some more notes for. We are going to get into some spoilers. I don't like using that word, even though I seem to use it all the time. And also, having said that, I think Scream 2, I think it was 97 it came out, which makes it, I don't know how old, 25 years? Yeah, 25 years. And if you haven't seen it, you know, too bad for you. I'm going to spoil particularly something major in it. So these are just notes that I took while watching the movie. This was sort of a gut reaction in some ways. Scream 2. I can't imagine anything more fun than the Scream movies. It starts with Stab, which for some reason I thought it started with a recreation of the first scene of Scream, which it kind of does, because within Stab there's a recreation of the first scene from Scream. So this movie gets very meta. Which I love. It's even more meta than the first one. And actually the most meta scene is the sequel discussion in the college classroom, which happens early in the movie and has kind of become like a famous scene. I've seen like clips from it in like Eli Roth's History of Horror, or like those kind of programs. So, again, from my notes, you're sitting in a theater, assuming this is 1997, and you're going to see the new Scream movie. You're sitting in a theater watching the newest slasher movie while they're, meaning the characters, they're sitting in a theater watching the newest slasher movie. So again, it's this kind of recursive meta thing. The opening scene of Stab is a recreation of the opening scene of Scream. I already just talked about that. I wrote down Sarah Michelle Gellar. She's the first victim. And I remember I stopped watching it. I've kind of slowly, piece by piece, watched this movie. So I think I watched up to like the end of the opening scene after Jada Pinkett Smith dies. And then I watched up to the scene where Sarah Michelle Gellar is killed, thrown off the balcony of the sorority house. And then this time I got much further. I got to the end pretty much, but I fell asleep once again. And I don't know what happens at the very end. But I saw a lot of it, and there is more action in this movie. More blood, more gore, maybe? I don't know. It didn't seem that bloody or gory, but maybe it gets there at the end. And they even talk about that, how the sequel's supposed to amp up the blood and gore. The blood and guts, which it doesn't really. At least not yet. I mean, I guess it kind of does. It does amp up the action. There's like one kind of like out and out action scene with the, it's like a car scene with the cops and a gun or something. I don't know. I think I was already falling asleep at that point, but yeah, it doesn't amp up the action. So the first one is about high school kids. Sydney, the main character played by, for some reason, I always want to say Demi Moore. I don't know why. She has nothing to do with Demi Moore. I think because a customer came in and her name was Demi, D-E-M-I, so I'm thinking Demi Moore now. What the fuck is her name? The main girl in Scream. I can't fucking think of it. This is embarrassing. Oh, Neve Campbell. So Neve Campbell's character, Sydney, is in high school in the first one. She's in college in this one. Makes sense. Also works for the sequel. In the first one, it's a bunch of high school kids getting killed. And the second one, it's a bunch of college kids getting killed. Which works. That age group works in a slasher movie. It is classic for a slasher movie. But this, you know, turns it on its head, does something original and inventive with it. So Sydney's mother, if you haven't seen the first Scream, which I've seen a number of times, Sydney's mother, the first Scream is one of my favorite movies from that era, and I do think it is much better than Scream 2, even though Scream 2 is a good solid sequel. It really is. And they do discuss sequels in this sequel, and at one point, Jamie Kennedy's character, they're talking about the best sequels, and I think it's Timothy Oliphant's character brings up The Empire Strikes Back, and he says it's not a sequel, it's part of a trilogy, meaning it's like an overarching story. I thought that was an interesting take on that. Anyway, that's a side note. Sydney's mother is killed by this crazed murderer. We find out about that in the first one, and then years later, she starts being terrorized with these phone calls from this new killer, who may be the same killer. Liev Schreiber is accused of the crime. He turns out to be innocent in the first one, but then he comes back in this one, and he's seeming guilty, like maybe it's him this time. And I'm forgetting what the fuck happens at the end. Serial killers are usually white males, that's a line from the movie. I was thinking it would be Jerry O'Connell? Is that his name? O'Donnell? O'Connell's character. I was thinking it would be him that was the killer, or Timothy Oliphant's character. I think it turns out to be Timothy Oliphant at the end. I'm not really sure. Again, I was falling asleep. But that's not the big spoiler. The big spoiler is that Jamie Kennedy's character is killed about halfway through Scream 2. I was so pissed. Honestly, the movie kind of lost me there. He is my favorite character in the Scream movies. I'm getting a little upset right now just talking about it. I was like, what the fuck? He's the best thing about Scream. You can't kill him off. Anyway, moving on. That's all I have to say about Scream 2. They killed Jamie Kennedy's character. So, moving on to Atlanta. First, though, we're going to dip back into Red Rocket just for a second. The movie that I couldn't fucking think of was The Florida Project. That was the big Sean Baker movie in between Tangerine and Red Rocket, The Florida Project, which doesn't really star. Features Willem Dafoe, or co-stars Willem Dafoe. The kids are really the stars of that movie, which kind of makes it boring for me. I don't give a shit about little kids, but yeah, still a good movie, though. But again, Red Rocket is just, like, easily his best movie for me. All right, let's get back into some Atlanta final season talk. So I still have to finish season 3. I'm about halfway through it. I'm watching episode 1, season 4, which dropped yesterday at 3 a.m. on Hulu. And I'm getting deja vu. I'm like, I feel like I've seen this before. And then I remembered there was a preview where they showed the first 10 minutes of it at some point, probably in the last year. And so I had actually seen the first 10 minutes. I was like, what the fuck? I even checked. I, like, paused it. I said, nope. I was like, is this season 3? Did I hit the wrong episode? And it said, and no, it said season 4, episode 1. So I saw it in preview. That's why I was having deja vu. The big news with this episode is Earl Sweatshirt has a new track in it. Earl Sweatshirt is my favorite rapper, my favorite producer. He's just not of all time, but like working like right now. He's just one of my favorite people making music in the world right now. And he's in the episode, not as an actor, but well, sort of as an actor, because, and I didn't even pick up on this. Again, I was kind of tired from work. I was out of it from writing. I was, you know, eating, laying on my bed, watching this movie, this show, excuse me. And I don't know, I was zoning on some things, not picking up on some of the dialogue. Turns out there's this, I mean, I picked up on some of it, but I didn't make this connection. I actually went on the internet today, this morning, and that's when I found out, oh, that's what was going on there. So there's this rapper in the show, Blue Blood, who's played, in quotes, by Earl Sweatshirt. You hear his song playing, and the track is dope. And there's this sequence in this episode that is one of the best things that's ever been on Atlanta. Easily the best part of this episode, the season 4 debut. And it is, so this rapper died, I guess, 2 months previous or something. And Paperboy, the rapper character on the show, played by Brian Tyree Henry, if I'm not mistaken, he goes looking for clues as to his death or something, and he's on this kind of, like, I don't know, scavenger hunt, if you will. And he walks through this, I was gonna say pool hall, but not, I mean, like, an actual pool. What would you call it? I don't know. Pool house. He walks past these pools, goes into the locker room. I guess it's a gym, a YMCA, something like that. Gets these little things, these little tabs, pieces of paper that you put on a fucking keychain or something. I don't know. And it's like each clue leads him to something else. And he's using his phone. He's taking pictures of the clues. And he ends up in this movie theater. He gets these 3D glasses at this laundromat, I think. Ends up in this movie theater, and there's this, like, old 50s movie, black and white, playing in 3D. He's sitting in the theater watching it. This woman screams. It cuts. He goes to a comic book store. There's a clue in a comic book. All this shit is happening with this dope new Earl Sweatshirt track playing with the, you know, the dope beat is playing. His dope raps are being rapped over it. And it's just a dope sequence. That sequence is the best thing I watched last night. So I'm going to end it there. Not the episode, but the Atlanta section. Because that's, I mean, what else can you say? Like, that shit was dope. Alright, so I finally watched episode 2 of 2 shows. And these will be the last 2 things that I talk about. Finally watched episode 2 of Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, and I finally finished episode 2 of Little Demon, both of which premiered new episodes yesterday. They premiere new episodes on Fridays. I'm not caught up. I will get caught up. And by the way, 2 episodes of Atlanta dropped yesterday. I watched the first one. I think I will have to watch the second one today. And I'm off for the next few days from work, by the way, so you'll be getting the longer episodes, the more involved episodes, the better episodes, I think. And you will get a new episode every night. Conceivably. Probably. Okay, so again, from my notes, episode 2 is better than episode 1. Definitely true. I like the concurrent stories happening in episode 2. It kind of cuts back and forth. Here's what I thought of while I was watching it, was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, actually. The way it's just like, you follow one story for a while, and then it's like hard cut to another one. So like, you're following Rick Dalton's story for a while, and then hard cut, and you're in, all of a sudden you're in Cliff Booth's story. Hard cut, you're in Margot Robbie's story. So it's like these 3 story threads happening at the same time. Speaking of which, why didn't I write that in here? Maybe I did. Hold on. No, I didn't write it there. That's weird. I thought, just to hop back to Atlanta for 1 second, I thought the B story of the episode, which was the Van Earl Atlantic City story, I thought that was the weakest part of the episode, where they're like seeing their exes in Atlantic City or whatever. It is kind of surreal, and I kind of liked it. It's kind of funny, kind of cool, but also just kind of weak. Not very memorable. Definitely not as interesting as the Paperboy thread. Not as interesting as the, what's his name? Darius thread, which was weaker than the Paperboy thread. He's being chased around by this woman in an electric wheelchair. But yeah, I just thought of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and then I started thinking about Bertie Sinellis, his podcast. He talked about how movies are starting to resemble television. Well, he talks about that on the pod, how movies are starting to resemble television and vice versa. And I remember on one episode he mentioned Parasite, and he said that even kind of looks like television in a way, which I tried to sort of like consider that, but ultimately I definitely do not agree. It does not look like, Parasite does not look like television. It looks like a Bong Joon-ho movie. And I had this kind of like brief fantasy in my head of like being on the Bertie Sinellis podcast and him saying that, and maybe just being like, I wholeheartedly do not agree. It looks like a Bong Joon-ho movie. It does not resemble television. Although I could see the Parasite miniseries, and I can see the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood miniseries. I can see that. Like, I can see, it's hard to talk about, because it's more so with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, because television is part of the Tarantino universe, and it's part of the world of that movie. And I feel like it would make sense as a miniseries more than Parasite. Parasite just kind of feels like a Bong Joon-ho movie to me. And it feels like one of his best movies. But I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is a better movie. Even than Parasite, even though Parasite is great. Anyway, I'm jumping back to 2019 here. Let's get back to Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, episode 2. When he gets, this is again from my notes, when he gets to the dwarf place and you see it, I thought that was cool. That was like probably the best scene I saw in Ep 2 before I again fell asleep. I also like when they find that giant hole and they were like, oh, this, you know, what created this? This couldn't have been created by man. This was created by a creature, I don't know, suggesting something. And then I like when the giant sea creature hits the boat. It sounded like they called it the worm. They were like, oh no, the worm or something. But I don't know what they actually said. You know, they have their weird British accents. It's kind of hard to understand sometimes. So yeah, the show was slow going at first. It got off to a slow start, but it picked up in the second ep two. Thank you, Lord of the Rings. And finally, a little show called Little Demon. Yeah, I like this show. It's kind of smart, kind of clever. It's kind of funny. I like her. I like the main character. She's kind of cute. But also kind of interesting and funny and kind of badass. It's called Possession Obsession. So it's about her learning to possess things. And then this demon comes and possesses her. But then it jumps into different characters. And her mom is pretty badass in this episode. She's got this thing that pushes the demon out of her daughter, and then it goes, like I said, into, like, the neighbor and the friend who shows up, and she's got, like, a, where the fuck is my little demon notes? Are my little demon notes? She's got this fucking Hellraiser box, which she ends up capturing the demon in at the end. Sorry, spoiler. Sorry, I'm just looking for my fucking little demon notes. I don't know if I really made any notes about the app. I'm trying to think if I watched anything else last night. I must have put something on. You know what I put on was fucking Cyberpunk Edgerunners, which is just so dope. It's just getting doper and doper. It's still kind of hard to follow, but it's just like, it's bloody, it's violent. The visuals are so cool. The tech is cool. The style is cool. It is like for sure an anime show. And I find those hard to follow. Maybe it's, like, just kind of a Japanese thing. It's, like, got more of a Japanese style. And it's also just the anime style, the way anime is done. Especially now. It just, like, it doesn't present... Oh, it's right fucking here. Sorry. Episode 3 is next. That's all I wrote for Little Demon. Anyway. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the rest of Little Demon episode 2. That show is gory too, which I appreciate. Not very gory. At least not this episode. Anyway. Yeah, Cyberpunk Edgerunners. So yeah, it is definitely anime, and it does present its story, its characters, what's going on. It presents all that in a way that's sort of unusual for me. I'm just kind of like not used to it. I'm not used to seeing stories presented like that and characters presented like that, so I'm having some trouble following what the hell is going on in the show. And I've also never played the game, which would probably help. It would probably illuminate some things for me. There was this dope visual, though, in the show, which I saw in a preview of the show before I watched it, with the characters show up, these guys show up with these, like, fucked up faces. They have, like, these things on their faces, these metal things with screws. It just looks really fucking cool, and it's in the game too, I think, if you get like the extension pack or something. And that happens at the end of episode 4, I believe. So what I'm trying to say here is stick with the show, keep watching it. It gets cooler and cooler. I know that's what people say about shows. Oh, you have to keep watching, it gets better. But I mean, that's kind of true with a lot of shows. That's true with Lord of the Rings. That's true with Cyberpunk, Edgerunners, even though I think the whole show is kind of dope. Even Little Demon, I thought, was, like, better by the end of episode 2. Even though ep 1 is pretty good. It's a pretty strong opening, you know, if that's your thing. I'm not, like, really into the show, but I thought it was a good first episode. But I probably prefer episode 2. I don't know. Episode 1 was, like, a little much for me. I don't know. Anyway, I'm gonna pretty much wrap up this episode here. I'm trying to think if I have anything else to add, anything else to say. Books, music. I don't want to talk about the music that I'm listening to because it's pretty much all been for this project that I'm working on, and they're the songs that I've been listening to I want to license for this movie that I want to make, which is totally a pipe dream and probably won't happen. And I would be happy with the score, but anyway, I don't want to talk about that too much. As far as books, I'm reading Zero History by William Gibson, which I think was published in 2013. It's like one of his newer books. And it's really fucking cool, really fucking good. Check it out. It's got like these kind of short condensed chapters that all have a different title, which is something that I like in books. Yeah, it's a good novel. I'm into it. It's like candy for me. I just like, I have a few different books that I'm reading, but I just keep reaching for that one. Partly because I'm just into it right now, but also because it just like, I don't know, I just like it. I like the style. I like how he writes. I like how the book is working right now. And I like that it's kind of hard science fiction. Like, it's kind of dense. You have to kind of follow it. The characters all have weird names. Androgynous names. You don't know if they're male or female until it says, like, he, she. You don't really know who they are, what they're doing. But you're learning more and more. And it's an interesting book. The way he utilizes technology in his writing and in the story is interesting. It's kind of about music and fashion. I think it takes place in the future, the near future maybe, or just the future. I guess all of his books take place in the future. I'm not really sure. It's the William Gibson world. This is Video Nasties. I'm Maxwell Haddad. Thank you so much for listening. Talk to you again soon. Peace.
Hey, it's me again. So, just a couple of things that I wanted to add that I neglected to speak on earlier. First of all, I'm on Cape Cod, Massachusetts. I always like to mention time and place, just to give you the setting. The other thing is, and I have some notes here, Cyberpunk Edgerunners is amazing. It's my favorite new show of the fall. I just want to make that clear to listeners. This show is incredible. Everyone should watch it. And it is the best new show of the fall so far for me. I have high hopes for The Idol. I don't know when that's dropping. I have talked about that on a previous episode or two. And then in terms of new movies coming out, I'm looking forward to two Netflix movies. The Munsters, which is Rob Zombie's new movie, which is rated PG, which is kid-friendly, his first kids movie. He's never made a children's movie before. And I think it'll be really interesting to see what he does with it. I thought the trailer looked good. It looked interesting. It looked visually interesting to a certain extent. And when I say good, it looked good to a certain extent. I don't think it'll be great. In some ways it looked kind of bad, actually, but I think that's part of the intention of it, is to kind of recreate the vibe, the feel of this show, The Munsters, from, I guess, the 50s or 60s, which, you know, was on a television budget, which was clunky to a certain extent. If I sound a little out of breath, it's because I'm on a walk right now. Is this even recording still? I think it is. Okay. And then the last one was, last thing I wanted to mention was Marilyn, the Marilyn Monroe movie starring Ana de Armas, who I love, but I think is weird casting for it. Her accent is weird. She doesn't sound like Marilyn Monroe. She doesn't look like Marilyn Monroe. I think part of the point of the movie is that the Marilyn Monroe that we know and love is not the real Marilyn Monroe. She was Marilyn on screen, but then off screen she was still Norma Jean. But Norma Jean was a Southern girl, kind of a small town girl from Texas or something like that. I don't really know the whole Marilyn Monroe story, but Ana de Armas is from Spain, maybe? I don't want to get it wrong, but I just don't get the vibe from her, really. I mean, I do sort of. I think she looks like she did well in the role. She did capture something Marilyn in the role. I just think it could have been better casting. But again, I do love Ana de Armas I almost said Knocked Up, from Knock Knock, almost entirely. I mean, I like her in Knives Out, too, and I like the movie, but it's really about Knock Knock for me. Peace.